A goat got together with a sheep, and they had a geep.
You know, you are waiting. You are making Bobby D wait for us by talking
is
about
he, it. Is he ready? Is he standing by?
Bobby DiBiasio is joining us this morning. Good morning, Bob. Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning, boys. How are we doing?
Yeah, we're doing okay. Before Craig says it's like the start of the season again, we're back to like zero. He says 3-3. It's like starting over again. But I guess it's a little
yes,
different
indeed.
Than that because other teams have been kind of doing different things. So the standings have kind of adjusted themselves. But it's only the first week in the season. If you kind of look back since the start, what kind of things can you see that on the positive note for the Tribe?
Well, one of the things that you feel good about is this team just doesn't give up. It scores runs late in the game, which is one of the more difficult things to allow a team to do because there's obviously a shorter period of time for you to catch up. So when we're on the mound, our bullpen's in the game, late in the game, we really have done a pretty decent job thus far this year of shutting down the other team late in games. Although yesterday, the Twins just out hit us. But we've been scoring runs late in the game, so I think that's been a good one. On the flip side, you know, our starting pitching just hasn't been real consistent. Just walking too many guys. And just like yesterday, we fought back to tie up the game 6-6, and the Twins end up scoring three runs on only one hit. So, you get some walks and a hit batter, and next thing you know, a guy doubles and clears the bases, and all the work you did to catch up and get back to a tie game, you went for naught. So, when you're 3-3, you're going to have some good things on your side and some bad things on your side.
Well, you had the three games here with the kind of the opening weekend. I think aside from the little bit of delay on Friday, everything seems to have gone well, and it's been an enthusiastic crowd to come out. Anything you take away from this special weekend honoring the Indian Progressive Field 20 years?
Yeah, we had really a tremendous amount of fun on Friday afternoon. You're right, it was a little bit of a delay. Mother Nature... we had that little storm that sat over you guys for a little while that just stalled over Elyria for a little bit that we were just waiting on. It was clear and the sun actually was shining at 3:05 and people wondering why we weren't starting the game. But we knew that once we started that within anywhere from a half hour to an hour, or an hour and a half, that we were going to get this, torrential downpour and no sense in starting the game and losing a starting pitcher. And so we were waiting on that storm to pass, and then it just sat over Elyria for a little bit instead of the wind blowing it through, but eventually it did. But a packed house, really excited. The pregame walking around the park and out on Rally Alley and just connecting with people. They were just so excited to see baseball back.
Bob, tonight the Indians take on the San Diego Padres. I saw that and I thought to myself, is it a little early for interleague play? Is that normal or what?
Well, not anymore. Obviously, there was
anything goes.
Well, there was interleague play on opening day. Obviously, when you have 15 teams in each league, there's an interleague series, at least one interleague series, every series in baseball. So it's not like the old days when you would have just a concentrated interleague play, a couple games in June, and you were all done with it. Nowadays, there's interleague up and down from the beginning of the season to the very end of the season. So the Padres coming to the Cleveland Indians isn't something that we're used to, but that's the nature of the beast and the new way of Major League Baseball with 15 teams in both leagues.
Craig gave me a release that came out. Bart Swain put this out yesterday. The Indians today, yesterday, acquired right-handed pitcher Duke Von Schaman.
What a great name. Yeah,
what a great name for a baseball player. Every once in a while you'll see some name and you're thinking, I can't wait till Tom Hamilton gets to utter those names.
He already had fun with it yesterday as I was walking the ballpark. And, you know, we have a radio broadcast throughout the ballpark. And when that came down during the game, he had some real fun with it. But, that young man will head off to AA Akron, and we'll have to wait and see how quickly he rises up the ranks to make it to Cleveland.
Do you have a nickname, Bruce, for this guy? Duker? The Duker?
The Duke. Well, come on. There's
the Duker?
Some of these have been used before.
Yeah,
and if you go with the Shaman, then you have this whole other thing.
Did they call, Bob, you would know, did they call Duke Sims the Duker back in the day?
Yes, they did. It's funny. Yeah, Duke had been a part of our fantasy camp for a number of years. And, his teammates, a few of them, would call him that. They had some other choice nicknames for Duke as well.
We can't. Did they have a nickname for Joe Did they have a nickname for Joe Askew?
Well, Joe Askew was called, you know, the media came up with Immortal. It was, you know, the Immortal Joe Askew. Because that came about when he was first traded over to the Indians. He had to catch a red eye to catch an afternoon game, and he fell asleep in the bullpen because he'd been traveling all night trying to get to Cleveland by a day game, and sitting in the bullpen, he ends up falling asleep. And I think it was Bertie Tebbets, the manager, called down to tell him that they needed him to come in and pinch hit. And so they woke him up in the bullpen. He runs down and grabs a bat, and I think he hit a two-run double to win the game or something like that. So one of the media guys began to call him the Immortal Joe Askew. So that's what stuck with him.
Hey, Bob, I'm looking at a flyer here that says you're going to help celebrate the Kiwanis Club of Wellington's 90th anniversary. On Tuesday, April 29th, you'll be their keynote speaker. Do you do a lot of those type of things where you help different service organizations and come out and talk tribe?
I am an honorary member of Kiwanis, Rotary, Chamber of Commerce, you name it. Probably this winter, starting in January up until today, I don't know. I was probably when I was in Cleveland, you know, not out in spring training, but the times in Cleveland, I probably go out 3-4 times a week during this period just to get out and talk Indians baseball with the service groups, whether it's a breakfast meeting, a lunch meeting, a dinner meeting. We have a real active speakers bureau program at the Cleveland Indians that myself and other members of the front office are out and about talking Indians and group sales and all the fun things that are in store for the season and how the team looks and that sort of thing. And we have a little video and we do a little raffle, some giveaway items. So yeah, we have a nice, neat 30-minute program that we have available for all the service groups. And it's really a lot of fun. It's a chance to get out and talk and answer questions to see what's on the minds of our fans and to give them a real update on where we are as an organization.
Do you prefer the roast beef or the stuffed chicken when you go to these?
That's a tough one there, but I can tell you I have a lot of coffee cups and a lot of pens piled up. So but it's fun, like I said. It's a lot of fun talking tribe with the fans one-on-one. It's really enjoyable.
Well, it's a way to get them excited and thrilled about what's going on. And, of course, what's on the field also counts as well. And, again, the tribe and the Padres tonight. We'll talk again next Monday with you, Bob. Thanks for joining us this morning. Appreciate it.
You got it, boys. We have a day game on Wednesday. So people who like noon games, come on down Wednesday, the tribe and the Padres.